Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And if I had to pick a place to commit suicide, I don't know that I would make it a forest.
It's a beautiful forest, though.
Where would you go?
That's a good that's a question I kind of want to ask the group, is like, where would be a good place to, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know.
My best friend in high school had a lot of problems with depression. And she used to have this fan. She also hated her mother. And so she used to have this fantasy where her plan was to put on her mother's wedding dress and slit her wrists in her mother's like jacuzzi bathtub. So she would just come in from work, do like, you know, the home from work pee.
Be like
and
Dexter.
Find her bride daughter dead.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of creative.
It is a horror podcast.
It is creative. I've never had like a fantasy suicide situation. I can't like where, I don't know that I would think to go to a haunt. That's pretty creative too, to go to a haunted place.
I think I would just pull my car into a garage and turn it on, let it run until I passed out.
No, gross.
That's such a baby way to go.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt. I mean, I've already had enough pain in the world.
I don't like the smell of exhaust. Like, I think I'm too finicky for suicide. Like, I don't like any of the ways I would kill myself. So I don't know. Like,
let off a Febreze bomb in your car while you're doing it.
That's true. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Might just kill you on
it. You should find a house that's being bug bombed and go there.
Yeah. I think I would probably just accidentally do it. Like, I almost accidentally did it in college one time because I was cleaning the bathroom at work and had the door closed, and the size of the bathroom was only about a telephone booth size, and I was cleaning with bleach and Comet and something else at the same time.
Nice.
I was basically creating chlorine gas in the bathroom, and I didn't realize it, but I started to feel really sleepy and lethargic, and the boss was the one who told me, like, hey man, that can kill you. And so I think that, like, if I ever die, it's probably going to be accidentally, if I had to guess. Like, I'm going to be nominated for a Darwin Award, I think. Like, that's going to be what happens. Like, good intentioned accident. Like, that's the way I'm going to go, I think.
I had a friend whose cousin died that way, mixing the two cleaners together.
Well, like, happened? Like, he
died.
Well,
he was a custodial engineer, and in
no,
his little.
No, he was not.
No, he was.
He was so not yet a custodial engineer. He was still.
He was in training.
He was a custodial engineer in training. Yeah.
Custodial apprentice.
He should have had someone, you know, checking in on him and been, you know, in charge of him. That's you don't want. That's dangerous.
Yeah, he should have, but it didn't work that way. So he mixed the two cleaners together and eventually suffocated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tyler did.
Right.
Yeah. Like almost what I did. And it was horrifying. But
it was actually, I remember it was when my buddy was going away to college, and I'd gone down to Macon to spend the weekend with him.
Macon, Georgia.
And it just so happened that he died that weekend before. So I had to tag along with him while he went and visited his aunt, whose son it was. I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable.
I don't
get in the car.
It, you know, like when you really think about it, it's amazing more people don't die. Like when you really think about,
but we all do.
I know, but I'm always surprised that people don't die more often. Like on a daily basis, when you think about how careless people are with their lives, it's amazing that more people don't just die. Does that make any sense? Like
it does.
Like the way that I drive on the interstate getting home is not safe. Like and I have the one of my favorite moments in a movie is the Edward Norton thing where he's talking about, like, every minute of your life you're not dying and you sort of wish you are, or what, like the whole bit he goes into how, like,
what movie is that?
Fight Club.
Okay.
Did I not mention Fight Club? Okay. I told that, you this would be that, an interesting podcast.
You said that Edward Norton movie.
That, you know, the Edward Norton movie, that the one that he did before he died tragically in that car accident. But no, like,
he's still alive.
Yeah.
What?
Edward Norton, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Was he not?
Yeah, no.
Hmm. have to rethink this whole thing. But no, like, it is weird to think about, like, because there are so many bizarre accidents. Like, I don't count myself lucky enough that I haven't had a bizarre accident. Like, there was a, always on, like, on Reddit, all those dash cam videos of, like, people going a place. Like, there was one on Christmas Eve, sadly, and it was a brand new video of this guy and girl on a motorcycle trying to cross, they were turning left, and they started to cross, and this cement truck, like, flipped over, and the girl, like, they slid, and the girl slid off of the bike, but the guy landed, and the cement truck just toppled over on top of him, and very clearly crushing him to death. And it's like, that was just a random, like, he wasn't being an asshole. He was just driving, and the truck just, like, flew out of control. Like, so many weird accidents in the world.
That one of those things, too, where you just, like, yeah, I ran across the street to go get something to drink, and then someone just dies.
You're fucking dead. And it's
New Orleans tomorrow, and I feel like vomiting now.
Well,
right now?
No,
you're supposed to do that after you've been in New Orleans for a little bit.
I feel like having this conversation is opening a portal into the universe to murdered.
I feel like
Destination 35.
I feel like if we talk about it, it's not going to happen.
No, it's like you put it out into the universe.
If you put it out there, though, it's less likely to happen.
No, it's like you're invoking it.
That's like when I go to work, I'm like, man, I hope we have 100 cows today. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get 100 cows because I've already put it out there.
You're
like,
never going to get 100 cows.
You don't hate.
That's
some,
like me saying,
if he didn't say it, he might.
Listen, there's a sale barn up the road in off of Olympic Drive where people go and sell hundreds of cows at a time. Who knows what kind of disease they could come down with?
Or something could just hit it.
Well, then we'd know the cause of death.
Well, if you had 100 cows, there has to be some sort of contingency plan.
But what if they got hit and the truck had some sort of communicable disease in it?
Oh, it ain't coming to us.
And they need to figure out how it was.
That's the day I quit, right there.
So, but in that case, you're not getting 100 cows, though.
Right.
Still not 100 cows.
You're probably never going to get 100
cows. The answer
cows.
To your question is yes. I'm sorry I said it.
I'm just nervous now.
Happy birthday?
Thanks. She died the day before her 35th.
You know, I mean, people die in weirder ways. I mean, there's just so many you can't even tell. Like, I learned recently that, like, the neti pot. Do you guys know the neti pot?
I use neti pot.
Hello,
deadly.
I don't use
deadly. Neti pots are deadly as shit.
How is that?
If you use tap water and don't use distilled water, there's a specific kind of protozoa or organism that's in the water that you're, like, water isn't supposed to go through that membrane in your nose, and so it can crawl into your brain and kill you.
I use the tap water all the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's
but like you're
my sinuses.
You're the guy though that is lucky. Like, there is another guy who had to figure out the hard way that it can kill you. Like, there's a guy who's like, oh, well, how did Willem die? Oh, Willem died from the neti pot protozoa or whatever it is. Like,
you'll be happy to know that every time I use a neti pot, I actually boil the water before using it. Then I let it cool down.
Oh, I was going to say, like,
hot.
Do you put boiling? That might be more dangerous to your health if you put
it's
boiling water in your nose.
It's supposed to be pretty warm, so I'd boil the water, then I'd, you know, let it boil for a couple seconds.
That's distilled, though, right? Isn't that the... Okay, basically, like, that's the definition of distilled.
Yeah, so I would
just
do that. No, I'm saying you'll be happy to know that I did not go the tap water route.
It's crazy. Like, I'm reading the book Unbroken right now.
Unbroken! Hey, side note, have you seen the Hardee's commercial with the Panteras? Unbroken?
No, I was actually at work when I saw that, and I was like, oh, I want to see this! And then I forgot. And that reminds me, I need to watch it.
You'll have to actually look up a Hardee's commercial.
I know. I have to go. I don't.
Or go to my page on Facebook, because I actually posted it on there.
Okay. Facebook.com/ Burn Center.
Yeah.
Burn Center. That's what I'm going to start calling you. And you should change all your social media to Burn Center. Like, BURN_CENTER.
Everybody goes, ooh, sick burn. I'll be like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you have that on Reddit set to, like, whenever someone says sick burn, like, it's an automatic comment from you.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like,
checking in.
That's me or something.
It checks out.
It checks out. So this week's episode, I mean, you know, we weren't just in a suicidal mood. We had a reason to talk about suicide, and that reason is upon us, and that reason is the movie The Forest.
We weren't in a suicidal mood until after seeing this film, The Forest.
What?
This movie could have been called Walking Simulator 2016.
Yeah. There's actually a PC game called The Forest that is better than this. Yeah, it's a survival sim. Like, it has nothing to do. It's kind of like Don't Starve in Minecraft, but completely polygonal and kind of three, like it's made in Unity, but it's
multiple marriages.
Yeah. No.
All right. What we can get to as into the reasons why we don't like it. But let's talk about what the movie The Forest is about.
Okay, so the girl from Game of Thrones, right?
The amazing
Anne
Boleyn Dormer
from The Tudors. She'll always be that first for me.
I never watched The Tudors.
Anne Boleyn. She'll always. That's where I when I first saw her. There, it's like, oh my gosh, she might be the prettiest lady ever.
She's really attractive.
After this movie, I was like Natalie Dormer, more like Natalie Bormer.
Bringing the dad jokes since 2015. So her sister has disappeared into the wilds of Mount Oak.
Twin sister.
Her twin sister, spoiler alert, that's not a spoiler.
No, her identical brunette twin sister.
Her identical, you know, to distinguish.
Well,
she's the sad one.
Yeah.
Her hair is dark.
Right.
Like her soul.
And she's... It's not Akihabara. What's the name of the forest? It's not Akihabara. What is it? Okagira.
Yeah.
Okagira. Okay. I can't remember. So
Aoki
anyway,
Rabra.
She's disappeared into that forest at the mount of Mount. What is it?
Guantanamo.
Right. That's why Obama's gonna close it because it was not a good movie. And
Agrabah.
Shangri-La.
Jesus, goddamn Christ. I'm sorry, listeners.
The Konnichiwa Forest.
Aokigahara.
Aokigahara, yeah. I know it wasn't Akihabara, but it's close. And she disappears, and the sister goes to find her, and J-horror movie ensues. Lots of walking, lots of talking.
Lots of traveling.
So let's get into... I don't think this is a good movie. But I don't think it's nearly as bad as... I don't think it's 12% on Rotten Tomatoes bad. I think there are far worse horror movies than this. I think the ending 36 is...
36 on Metascore.
It's what?
36 is its Metascore.
Okay, so I could see that. But I also... Like, I don't think it's as bad as I thought it was going to be, especially based on everyone, like my expectations going in. I think that maybe that helped me, but I definitely think the ending is bad. But I wasn't nearly as bored with it as you guys were. Suddenly I don't know what part of New Jersey. Yeah.
Checking in from New Jersey.
I'm checking in from the Garden State.
Baba Booey. I thought it was a hunk of shit.
Okay. I think that's fair, but
I don't think it knew what it wanted to be, and it missed some great opportunities to be a very creepy and spooky film. I mean, besides Natalie Dormer, the characters were just horrible. Like
she was like 50% of the character.
Right, but the luckily
she was 50%. She actually played the dude also, and is just a great sort
of Mishi as well, who I think is the underrated hero of the movie. That poor guy.
It was basically like the Nutty Professor of horror films.
Yeah, it's the farts. What's the movie? Isn't that the one from Tropic Thunder?
Yes. Fatties or something like
the
that.
The fatties, yeah. It's not so they, but they all farted. But yeah, it was the fatties. Go ahead.
I didn't know what. Like at the end, I was very confused as to what was like. Was she crazy? Was she? Had she let the forest get into her? Because they didn't really set up the forest as. I mean, they mentioned it. It was like, oh, you know, if you're sad, you're already sad. It's going to really get to you. I get that, but. They just never really established that it would drive you fucking insane.
Well, it was like they said that the forest would make you see things, but they didn't say the forest will make you see things that are so subtly crazy you will never really be invested in whether she's actually losing it or not.
Like, yeah,
it was a very casual sort of crazy.
Right, like when we finally... I mean, for a little while there, if it was trying to make me feel like I was crazy, it failed because I was just confused. I was more like... Is she seeing these things on his phone? Are they going the wrong way? Is this little girl, the girl that comes out of the woods, real?
She's real gross.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's attempts to to make that the mystery of it, whether she's going crazy or not. I think that ended up backfiring on them because they don't make it obvious enough. They want you to question it, so it, you know, and that's supposed to add a level to your, you know, discomfort watching it. And I think the problem was, is we know whatever they're saying, it is still that way. It's still, she is going crazy when she's saying all that stuff, and they want it to be mysterious, but let's face it, we know that she is, because that's how the movie's set up, and that's how all these movies are set up. And I think that ends up being one of the bigger issues, is it doesn't have that mystery to it. It wants to. It doesn't.
I agree, and I agree with you, yes. Like, I don't think that the movie was so subtle that I was confused. I was fairly clear that she was going crazy, but I kind of liked the element of, well, she's making these terrible choices. Is like, she's making these terrible choices and they're taking her further down the road. Like, it's not something where she can magically sort of cure herself of it and be okay at the end. And I liked that aspect of the script, which is that she, like, we know that she's making bad choices. Like, we know she's kind of losing it. We know that it's the forest manipulating her. Like, I saw that aspect of it pretty clearly. But the only thing that was questionable to me was the guy, like, I mean, it gets answered by the end, but I did think there was a mystery to, like, well, is this a What Lies Beneath kind of situation? Like, that's what I kept thinking about, was the movie What Lies Beneath. Like, was it that the sister disappeared, or was it that she was taken out there and seduced out there and murdered? And, like, I think that was kind of the central question. I kind of like that angle of the movie. I think it makes some pretty unique choices in narrative, script, especially early on. I actually really liked the way that the movie intercuts the exposition, which is usually really tedious, with the travels to Japan. I really liked that sequence. I think that it gets her to Japan quickly while also telling us a story, so that we don't have to live through 15 minutes of her, like, wondering where her sister is before she decides to go to Japan. Like, she's in Japan, and I liked that aspect of it. Like, there are several things about the movie I liked, and that's one of them. Was, I think it made some really interesting narrative choices, but I also think it made some huge missteps that another run through the script could have fixed.
I will agree with you. I liked that it was quick to get her to Japan, because it also meant that it was quick for the movie to end.
Right. Yes. Like, it gets it.
It wasn't, because she got to Japan quickly, and that part was great. Yeah. But once she got to Japan,
it takes longer.
She did a terrible job of walking for the next, like, 70 minutes.
I mean, there was a moment where I actually giggled, because, like, walking
a lot. It had some really funny parts.
As she was walking down the street in Tokyo, which, by the way, the sparsest I've ever seen Tokyo. I mean, usually it's bustling in every movie you see. This one looked like it was the streets.
28 days later.
Yeah, the streets of Louisville, Kentucky. That someone, like,
well, it's Tokyo, Kentucky.
Tokyo, Kentucky.
Which is, you know, there is also a Mount Fuji in Kentucky, which is weird. So that's where a lot of the confusion
Fuji
comes from.
Y'all.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
There was a scene where she was walking down the street looking at, like, the shop windows, where I thought, I was like, this is feels like it's gone on for at least a minute and a half without her saying a word. And I giggled because I was uncomfortable, of course. I was like, oh, man, what's going on?
I think almost everything when she actually gets to the woods, because I thought it was she was the least prepared person I think I'd ever seen for a trip to the woods, because I thought she was going to go into the woods with her rolling bag blazer and her little cute shoes. And when she's walking down the road after she's first gone to the visitor center, and she is in that, and they just keep behind these shots, and you're like, was she that ill prepared for this?
No, she traveled like the female lead in a Cary Grant movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was.
But that did lead to the funniest scene, which we all noticed in the theater. We watched it together. Was when we're supposed to get this terrifying scene of, is there something in the woods beside her when she's walking there? And then a gaggle of Japanese schoolgirls come out of the woods. And then the next shot we get is her standing in front of giant hotel to her right. And it's like, if that was there the whole time, why was she frightened by anything being in the woods?
Right.
I mean, it was just the worst cut to an establishing shot there. It's like, we needed something else to establish that was not what she just turned. Oh, look at all these schoolgirls. Where are they coming from? Oh, hotel.
It's a haunted forest, but there is a B&B inside
it. A huge resort.
Yeah.
I, I agree with everything there. I also, though, I think that very few movies actually make an attempt, like very few horror movies make an attempt to actually show us what Tokyo is like. And I think this movie wasn't successful, but I actually gave it a chance to like put this sort of like this is ostensibly a fish out of water story. Like this, like we boil it down to its most reductive level. Like that's what this movie is. And I like the element of her being in Tokyo and feeling isolated, because that's what this movie is about, is the sense of isolation from her sister. Like that's the big carry through theme. I don't think the movie's necessarily successful in conveying that all the way through the movie, but I didn't find the movie as sort of, and we watch a lot of really intentionally paced movies. I didn't find it to be so like starkly unmoving that I was bored by it for a good portion of it. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why The Stranger I thought was so poorly paced. It was. But that I didn't necessarily think this one was that poorly paced. I liked the psychological aspect of what she was going through. And I didn't want more scares. Like, I think if there's something this movie didn't do well, it was scares. So, like, it's a weird...
I jumped twice.
The only time I jumped was with the Japanese...
Out of your seat when it was over doesn't count.
I jumped when the old guy hit the window when she's in the taxi. I jumped then. That was the only time I jumped, but that was sort of like cheap, you know.
Yeah, I laughed at that. Was the first time. I'm glad you brought that up. I was trying to remember all the scenes I laughed at. That was one I just laughed at. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just did that as a scene.
Yeah.
He's and as he looks and walks away, as oh, it's drunk Japanese homeless man.
Well, you've got the old guy slamming the window of the taxi, and then you got the errant old grandma lady.
That was a creepy scene.
But like,
I did like that scene.
Why were the two jumpiest parts of the movie actually had nothing to do with anything else?
The movie's really about a fear of old people.
Yeah, it was just a fear. Yeah, it's a fear of aging.
No, just old people.
Is it gerontophobia? Would that be what?
Fear of the gerontophobia. I guess it would be just gerontophobia.
I think it's specifically old Japanese people too.
Oof.
I don't know what that is called.
I agree with you. Like, I agree with you, Lana. Like those scariest parts, arguably happen before she even gets to the forest. I think the forest is the weakest part of the movie. I think early on, it's actually a pretty interestingly paced drama about a slash not thriller but mystery about a missing sister. But I think that once it gets to the forest, it makes some really poor decisions about what should be done. I do like the male lead. I thought he did a pretty convincing job. He's like Mark Ruffalo light.
Lady Gaga, Taylor Kinney.
Is that who is she? Is he married to Lady Gaga? Like I don't know anything. I'm sorry.
They are betrothed.
He squires her about town.
He gave her a beautiful heart shaped ring.
I'm sure he was at the Golden Globes.
He was. I saw.
Yeah. He tried to fight Leo after the after the stare down.
Why are you looking at my woman like that, Leo?
The stank eye.
Wait, what happened?
Leo grabbed Lady Gaga's ass. Gaga's ass. And he's like, old Hollywood, bitch.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Old Hollywood. See, old Hollywood. See,
you take this ass grab and you like it. See,
he was wearing a monocle. It was very fancy.
He didn't realize though that he was just grabbing the fake plastic hips though.
She's so plush. She's so plush.
Fake plastic hips on Gaga.
Aww,
I think you're actually starting to describe a movie that I think would have been more interesting. Is she doesn't know the forest stuff to begin with, and she's coming to find her sister, and so she's going to Tokyo, and she has to go to the school the sister's at, and I thought that was an interesting. Yeah. Very. I laughed so hard though at that girl too, and the scene where the principal was interrogating the girl was possibly as funny as when she just screamed when she saw her.
Well, like, why did the principal not know the history of the forest?
So we could get the halting Japanese schoolgirl to tell us it in her scariest tone, but or more scared.
I didn't read that scene as the principal didn't know. I read it as it was just that she was explaining what had terrified her. And
but no adult would let a child get themselves that worked up. They'd be like, "You need to calm down."
America.
No, tell us more. I want you to just shit yourself with fear.
Poop yourself.
No, I think the Japanese actually would say, no, explain yourself, no matter how much it terrifies you, because we must know.
No matter how
especially
much
a school girl. School
and then
boy,
they would film
not.
It as a TV
fear
show.
Is the mind killer.
Yeah. So, but no, that is... Go ahead, Drew.
Oh, I was just... And I think that would have been more interesting. Then she gets there, and then she finds that it was on this trip to the forest. Then she goes to the forest after learning all this about it. Where, and maybe there's even more mystery while she's there, but where, why has she disappeared and all
right.
And something there. Maybe there was a guy that they, I think the other thing that would have worked better, even with the Aiden part too, is if there had been, she had heard about a guy.
Right.
Right.
And she didn't know anything, you know, and so she was wondering about that and who it might be, and just things like that to build more mystery into it, other than she already knows she's in the forest. So there's no reason, honestly, almost no reason to even have the school scenes other than they are reminiscent of lots of other J-horror, which is what I felt the film, I felt the film knew exactly what it wanted to be. It wanted to be a J-horror movie, and it just didn't do it very well. But
the Americanized J-horror.
Well, yeah, it felt like a remake, and all it felt like all those poor remakes that we have gotten at, you know, outside of The Ring. But and then just set up a real mystery there, rather than we know everything to begin with. Why doesn't she just go straight to the forest if she's worried about her sister?
Also,
well, the real mystery is why do Japanese cops not look for missing people?
That was funny too. Yeah,
she went into the forest. They don't want to be found.
So you still look?
No, they don't want to be found.
We also this forest being so legendary for as a suicide sad place, they're taking an awful lot of high school trips there.
Well, it's right next to like
Mount
all this
Fuji.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's Mount Fuji.
I get that too, but at the same time, you think like if someone was like, I can't think of something haunted around here, but. You're like, you know,
with as much suicide training as we have to deal with teenagers and all like that in education and things like that nowadays, I don't imagine them taking, you know, the equivalent field trip to, oh, it's right by whatever famous mountain.
Hey, we're going to go to this. Hey, kids, we'll take you to a noose factory. So she teaches you how to make a noose.
But there is Kill Yourself Gorge next to it.
But I think that is the truth, though. Like, I can't defend it, but I mean, It is an actual location where people kill themselves, and lots of people kill themselves, and yet Mount Fuji is also there. So I imagine they probably still do take trips.
It's like one of the top three locations in the world for suicides. You know, next to the Golden Gate Bridge and I can't remember the other
Empire State Building.
Empire State Building?
No, I just made that up.
They got that big fence now.
I don't know which
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore, yes.
Niagara Falls.
But they
people still visit Niagara Falls.
The pyramid.
Splash Waterfalls.
The Okefenokee Swamp.
Space Mountain.
Marriage.
Cancer.
We're just naming
things that can kill you.
Causes of death.
So I think the movie has tunnel vision, and that's one of the. Go ahead, Brian. Sorry, I was just trying to get us out of that.
I was just that was it. That was the same thing. It's like every, you know, just because the Golden Gate Bridge is one of the top three places that people commit suicide from, it's not like people stop going to the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right. Like we're not gonna drive over that.
I'm just gonna
swim.
For the off chance that have you seen the bridge? The movie The Bridge?
No, I'm not of the mindset of that's a person who needs to see that.
That is a amazing movie, though. It's done well, and it's done well with like the care that someone should take in making a film about a place where people commit suicide. It's not, they're not making
not a
it.
Comedy.
It's not a comedy.
Well, it is. But,
when I was in fourth grade, I started a novel called The Bridge, where teenagers committed suicide, but it turns out it was a killer the whole time. Because I was really obsessed with R.L. Stine. I wanted to be a writer at that time.
Sounds like could have written The Forest.
Yeah, I probably...
In fourth grade.
Yeah, like, no, I think the movie's biggest problem is that, like Drew said, it has tunnel vision. Like, it doesn't build... It starts a mystery, but doesn't build... It's never really building a mystery.
Also...
Ooh, I like that.
The part that... was craziest to me too was the idea like, oh, help me take this dead body down. Here's some gloves, but mind you, throw them over your shoulder like a sack
of
like
I'm with
the
you there.
Skin sloughing off and
but that's
gut.
That's the guy the movie doesn't do enough justice to. He takes time out of his schedule. He does this in his free time. Mm-hmm. He walks the forest to find the suicide so something can be done with them. I mean, he's the real guy he's the one who has to, at the end of the movie, he's almost attacked by the ghost and things like that. I mean, it's like Mishi is the real hero of the movie, but he can't be because why would we make a movie about
a
Japanese,
camp ranger.
Him have just been going around killing the people.
Park ranger.
Like,
park
they ranger. Weren't even committing suicide. He was just going around and killing them.
That's you pretty much just gave us Tyler's novel.
Mm-hmm. pretty much
the forest, but there the forest isn't killing people. It's Michi.
So I would couldn't see the forest for the trees.
I would call it Forest Ranger.
Can't see the forest for the Michis.
That I, you know, right. I think ultimately the movie has tunnel vision in a way that's like ruins it, in that it doesn't have a B plot really. There's no need for her to have a fiance or husband or whatever. They get her there, and then like she kind of dotters around Tokyo, which I kind of like the sort of loss in translation aspect of that. But then like once she gets to the forest, it sort of does these acrobatics to make it interesting, and it's really not. Like there's not much interesting that once she gets into the forest. Like I wanted more.
Believe that it's just like wall to wall dead people. Right. People kill themselves.
I had an idea that this. I think that one thing the movie does well early on, and like you guys disagree with me, but I think the movie's atmosphere early on is pretty successful as far as like the sense of ennui that she has and her kind of like despair about this situation. But I think that like what it doesn't transfer to like once she gets to the forest, in part because she has a person there with her, and I think. Like the sense of solitude that she has at the beginning of the movie goes away, and for me that's kind of problematic, and it leads to some really weird choices. And I think the most bizarre before I get to the most bizarre choice of me, the only time I really rolled my eyes and laughed was in the first 5 minutes, where she's talking to her fiance and is explaining why she has to go to Tokyo, and she has to utter the line, "She's my twin sister." to let the audience know that they're twin sisters, instead of letting it play out in the actual movie itself. So it has to be said, it has to be named instead of shown.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, like that.
If it was just like her regular sister.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't explain why she just knew.
Right.
Oh, that just regular the siblings thrumming. Don't know that. No. But twins, we can, and identical twins, we can buy that there's some sort of Tomek Zaymot sort of, right. You know, situation there. I think the movie would have been a lot more interesting. I think where I was really excited was when she decided to stay in the woods, that she was going to stay alone. And I think that would have infinitely made, there are so many more angles to go, because then you could have had her seeing Aiden or Michi, mm-hmm. or all these other people, mm-hmm. that she thinks, oh, maybe they stayed in the woods to help, yeah. her and something like that, but really they weren't there. I think that was a poor decision to actually keep them out there.
And the real issue, like the real terror of the forest is not the spirits that live there, it's the actual death. And I don't think there was enough of that in the movie. I feel like if the movie had sort of spent more time delineating like what is really actually horrifying about this place, is that it is a place of despair. It's where people who are at the end of their ropes go. And I think like that would have made the movie far more interesting than just immediately throwing ghosts at the screen. And like that was really bad. Hmm?
Yuri, and then what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ghost angry spirits or something.
Yeah. And it, like, go ahead. Like,
look at the forest. And the shots of the forest itself was actually so pretty that it was hard for me to think of it as scary, right. ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so beautiful. I'm like, yeah, there's this dead guy over here, but look how beautiful it is. Right. Over here.
Yeah.
So even at night, there was nothing. There was nothing ominous about it. You're just like, this is the pretty forest in the dark. Okay.
Like for me, if you had had more of the second act, like if she had stayed by herself and realized that the tent was near a dead body, like the proximity to like physical death instead of like metaphorical death or the ghost, the Yuri and all that, like something related to that, because she's obviously not going to cut down a dead body, you know what I mean, like, and throw it over her shoulder. So a connection to like more literal death for me would have been far more like interesting, and tie it to whatever, like, that's the interesting thing about this place, right? It's not really the ghost, it's what drives people to go to this place to seek something. And it attempts it by having the one like throwaway scene where the guy is there in the tent, and then Michi goes and he's like, oh, he's gonna be fine, but
he's got a tent, he's still considering. Yeah. Well, bro, can you stop? Which, like, hey man, get the fuck out of the forest and quit considering it.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that too,
all the cops, but the cops don't
said, oh, he did not want to leave.
I think that's also a problem, is that I don't know that the movie justifies this place in a way that Like, if you still, I sort of bought into it without thinking about the police aspect of it because it happens in reality. But I feel like if you're asking that question, then maybe it's not something that the movie justifies well enough that the police wouldn't be on the lookout or maybe they too are superstitious. Who knows? But that would be something I'd like to know more about. Like maybe a scene at the police station where they say, I mean, she's going to the school. It seems like they'd also.
Maybe the police could have a presence at the visitor center where they also keep dead bodies in the basement.
Yeah, I want to see Japanese John Saxon. You know, right. You play the police officer.
Well, it's not until someone who doesn't mean to be lost in the woods that they actually get the cops out there, but then they come in full force. So I feel like even one scene, like a brief scene at the police station where they're like, well, you know, like we believe in people's right to choose for themselves
Them's
what they
the
want to do. Huh?
Them's the breaks.
But that's just not what caught. Like, as an adult, yes, you are allowed to just up and move away and leave. But if you are someone who has a known history of mental issues, or you believe that that person could potentially be a threat to him or herself or others, then generally someone will look for you. They won't just be like, "All right." I mean, it's just so bizarre.
Callous.
We're also kind of ignoring. None of us have mentioned the fact that. What has set her sister apart from her is that she saw the parents' death. Whereas her other sister is completely fine because
she didn't see
the bodies.
Yeah.
But yet heard the gunshots and knew that something had gone on down there. I mean, her grandmother didn't tell her that her parents were in an accident when she's telling that story. She's lying.
She's built a fiction around it herself.
Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy?
Going back, if there is a place where people generally go to kill themselves, though, like, I don't know that the cops would involve themselves. That, like, I would generally say that people who go to the woods to kill themselves probably do have a history of mental illness anyway. And, like, if it is a place where it happens, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what their attitude is toward that, too. Like, I hear you on that, on the point that, like, well, you know, she had a history of mental illness. Like, the more problematic aspect to me is, like, she's American and not imbued in or, like, ensconced in Japanese culture, per se. But also, I think maybe that it would have made more sense about the dynamic between the sisters if it had been made more clear early about the death of the parents.
The first 15 minutes had been about that.
To what?
Nothing.
The first 15 minutes would have been about that.
Just make it about that.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. I like the way they dole out the information, especially the way she's telling the story. But I agree. I mean, I just don't buy it. I mean, I think these are both two messed up women. And
well, I think that becomes more apparent.
They built a story up that she's the more, you know, I think she's handled it better than her sister, which some people do. But I think they've still built up a story that she is somehow better off than her sister, who obviously has problems outside of that. I don't know that her problems exist from having seen her parents' dead bodies. I think they exist out of her sister Jess just has issues that Sarah didn't have.
Well, but I think what becomes clear. I think what becomes clear over the course of the movie is that Jess is not immune to any of it. Like, it shows that she's actually not okay. Because, I mean, one of the things they sort of try to instill in the audience is that, well, as long as you're mentally like me, she's fine. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're mentally fine, the force won't fuck with you. But if they see that you're like sad or whatever, it will try to mess with you. And I think that's what the movie, it doesn't make it clear enough though. I think what the movie needed is we needed to be aware of the fact that the parents died in that way earlier or more explicitly so that we would be more fearful of her going into the force. Like, there should be more dread of her going into that situation rather than thinking like, well, she's the good sister, so she's going. What they want you to do is think like, well, she's going to be the good sister. She's going to be okay. The other sister, the one we hadn't worried about. But, like, I think we all knew that she wasn't going to be okay. So I think that, like, another run through on the script, they should have, like, made the audience dread what was coming more than they do. Does that make sense or no?
I mean, I just think it's not what I think. It's just not what they were desiring to do. I think that was the thing they were desiring to set her up as. I think they think that they're going to set up a better, more dramatic situation later if she is considered better off, and then she still is succumbs to the forest, you know,
yeah,
sad pull or whatever it is. I think the script is by and far and away the film's biggest problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think it's a very good script, and I don't know that even one more pass is going to make it a good script. I think it had a director who had some pretty decent ideas about how to shoot it and kind of tell the story, and I think it had some okay actors doing stuff, but I just don't think it was ever a good script, and I don't know that it ever would have been. I mean, it falls into, I mean, I think it would have been a fine, we haven't mentioned yet, but I mean, it does seem look a lot like and have a lot of similarities to like Fatal Frame and other, like, you know, Japanese video game series, especially this one, though. We have twins in the woods and all these things.
Especially the one that's on the Wii U.
I think that it would have benefited if it were a video game, because we accept things that don't make sense at all happening in video games for some reason that we don't accept when I'm watching a movie about it. Like, I mean, but I admit I'll accept it in a video. It's like, where did this mansion in the middle of the woods come from?
Right.
Don't know. Doesn't
matter.
That
is an interesting point.
But in a movie, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. That shouldn't be there.
That is an interesting point. Cause yeah, if this had been a video game, I'd have been like, oh, this all makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's this ramshackle house in the middle of nowhere. Like, where else would it be? Like, I'm headed in this direction, so obviously it has to be here. Like,
right. And it's inhabited by crazy fucking people.
Also, go ahead.
No, we discussed it earlier, but I just never felt like she was actually going insane.
Hmm.
Like, I know that she was, we were supposed to know she, or think she was, but I mean, are we saying that she didn't see the picture on Aiden's phone? Because it never once, like, did he go, you're losing your fucking mind.
Yeah, she never saw it a second time, and it was all gone.
Right.
You know, like, if she looked at it and seen the picture, and he grabbed it, and then she'd gotten it later, and it was all gone, like, did he delete it, or was it never there?
Yeah, right, and
I wonder I can't remember what he said. Like, that's what I keep thinking about, like, because the way that the movie played it a lot was, like, what are you talking about? Kind of like, like, he's
like, he could have been hiding things.
Yeah, like, I think that's what they wanted to go for, was like, well,
but they didn't establish that she was losing her mind, so we were supposed to not trust her. Because, well, I didn't think about, I mean, until the very end, where I'm like, oh, she's lost her fucking mind.
Well, I think there were a lot of little things, like she was going in the wrong direction. The thing with the phone, like, she's seeing and hearing things. Like, I bought into that. Like, I never thought, well, she's not fucked up. Like, I got the sense that, well, there's something wrong here.
No, I needed her to say, I'm losing my mind, help me.
No, but if there had been more moments, like when they were in the house from Antichrist and her sister is in the basement door, and you think, like, you don't know if her sister is in the basement or not.
Right.
Like, if there had been more moments like that seem plausible, but then it stops and you say, oh no, she is going crazy.
Right. That's
like,
right.
That had much more impact than, oh, I saw a text from my sister on your phone. Because that's just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the ploy that they use is that he's killed her, because it wasn't a text, it was an interview with her. And, like, I think that's, I mean, for me, that's an interesting narrative twist, is that if this story sort of sixth senses you, where you think that it's about ghosts, but it's actually about this, you know, guy who killed her sister, and, like, he's, you know, lured her out here too. Like, for me, that's an interesting story, and debating whether or not that's reality or not is interesting. I just don't know that the movie does a fine job of making you question it enough to be able to, like, for me, the worst part of the movie was when she falls in the, like, she ostensibly falls in a well for 5 minutes, and it completely derails any tension that was in the movie. Like, I actually thought, like, okay, here, this is an interest. I thought that the movie took an interesting turn when she sees this stuff on the phone, says, like, fuck you, I don't want anything to do with you, I don't want you to interview me, blah. And she runs away and gets lost. And I thought, like, well, this is an interesting turn, because it's going to make her more, like, wary of him, and she's going to continue to run away from him. She's going to get lost. It's going to exacerbate this plot, and then something's going to happen to him. Like, I thought that would be an interesting twist. But immediately it undercuts its own tension by having her fall into a hole, and then he helps her out, and then, like, it seems like everything's all right again. And for me, that was the biggest misstep the movie makes, besides the
actual
ending.
Not just everything's all right, but that she needs his help immediately.
Right. Yeah. So, well,
Well, even the whole cave concept, because, you know, they mention it at the beginning, and then she falls in it, and then she goes to the edge of it, and they're like, no, you need to get back. And so why was that even
relevant at all? Yeah, like it totally goes down, because, well, I mean, I think that whenever they wrote the script, they were like, well, let's do this. Actually, maybe not. Let's just have her go back.
They ripped out 30 pages of
Yeah, yes.
I think it also proved, though, that she was crazy, and that's the other thing that then kills the tension when they get to the house that they go to, is when she's in the cave, she runs into the Japanese schoolgirl again, who's sitting there, and like she's hearing these things, like there's something down there with her. But at that point, I mean, earlier, it was already a little bit hard to buy that she saw that Japanese schoolgirl out
like
in the woods,
30.
Who then knew
she was 30,
who knew her sister, and then knew that she should be afraid of Aiden. But then she sees her again. I just feel like that killed any of the tension that had been built up by the phone and all that you said, which was pretty decent. At that point, I was like, well, maybe it is going to be him. You know, maybe that is
The what lies beneath twist. Like, I kind of like those movies where, like, you know, spoiler alert, The Gift, which is a pretty interesting Sam Raimi flick. And this, like, I like those kinds of movies where you think it's something supernatural and it ends up being something totally not. And I think it undercuts that. And I did like the touch of the, what's the thing that you hold in front of your face where you click and it has... What's
oh,
it called?
The viewfinder?
I like the viewfinder. The viewmaster. Like, I like the viewmaster scene. I think that could have been enough. Like, I don't think she needed to go further into the cave or whatever. Like, I think that would have been an interesting touch, and then she gets out because it reveals more about her past. And I thought the scene in the house was building towards something that it didn't. Although, I think it was...
rappers? What?
Yeah, like, I think they seeded the wrong elements that didn't pay off later, and that was one of them, the existence of the candy wrapper is like, whatever. But I do think, I mean, I was kind of expecting at that point for the turn to happen. Like, I expected him to become the evil, like, I part of me wanted that, but the...
If he had gone away that night and then comes back to her in the night... would have been more interesting, because then we wouldn't have known, is he a spirit or is he the guy who left and came back too? That would have been more interesting route to take rather than him just staying. So we know the whole time it's just him.
Yeah, there isn't enough sort of David Lynch in this movie for it to be good.
It needed Sixth Sense.
Yeah, it needed more Shyamalan in it. No, I think there needed to be more David Lynch.
He's all unsure.
Yeah. So, yeah, ultimately, but I do think that the choice at the end is an interesting one, that she accidentally kills him, like, because then you're like, well, what in the hell? This isn't a movie where she can just walk out scot-free, meet her sister, and then the movie ends. Like, she's irredeemable at this point as a character. So, like, what do you do? I think that that's a really bold choice, but that it doesn't stick the landing after that, because it just is a milquetoast ending.
Well, yeah, I mean, pulling out... I don't know, from the moment that we see, when we cut all of a sudden to Jess, I was kind of like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's just sitting somewhere and just kind of,
like, oh,
she's
shit.
Lost. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, let me find, oh, if I just run this way, I can run out of the forest. Why didn't I just run this way to begin with?
Yeah.
She knows she was 200 yards from the edge of the forest.
And I really, she saw light, but she was really close to to it.
Yeah, she was just looking. She was doing what her sister was doing. She was just looking straight ahead. She was just parallel to the road and wasn't looking to the left where the exit was. Like, that's why she didn't see it. She refused to look left or right. She was just walking in a straight line.
But yet she was so close to it all that all those school children that are going in and out every day made no noise whatsoever.
Right.
The Japanese are a quiet people. If I've known, I mean, the land of ninjas. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ending is completely busted. Like, I just
didn't know what they could do. I mean, I don't know what they could have done with what they had painted themselves into at that point.
Like, I think the suicide angle is, like, the unintentional suicide was stupid. Like, that, I see why they did that, because it's the suicide forest. But even if she, like, killed him accidentally and went out into the forest and got, like, the video game ending would be, like, you go out in the forest and it gets fucking worse. Like,
it would have been better if she thought her sister was dead and she just couldn't come to terms with that and couldn't come to terms with what had actually had to her parents, and she just felt like she had to end her own life.
Yeah.
Not just like imaginary hand, I need to get this off me, but like, I can't, because when you're the whole idea to me is that if you're in the forest, the ultimate thing is the forest really evil, or is it just the fact that you're somewhere where you're completely alone with your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're the crushing weight on you. So why couldn't her own issues be it instead of having to actually see something?
Or, like, to add to that, have her sister, like, she thinks she sees her sister there. Like, why wouldn't that be the thing that she sees? See her sister, or have her sister, like, help guide. Like, that kind of happens in the movie, but have the sister help her in her life. Like, even that's a more interesting ending, because it all revolves around the sister.
From a tree or something.
Yeah. And then she...
I think the sister should have been dead.
Yeah.
And that her whole twin thing was just a, like, bullshit.
And it, but she sees it after she's killed him as well, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I think, like, she kills him.
And see the sister, mm-hmm. and know that it's not him. And
it's just too much.
Even an ambiguous ending of her wandering in the forest and then us seeing the ghost surrounding her, but she not seeing it. That's a more interesting ending than, oh, she accidentally committed suicide and everything's fine. Like, her fiancé finds her and, like, I guess, whatever. And then Mishi gets attacked by a ghost at the end. Like, such a weird, hurried bullshit ending.
Better than that, the fiance could have been like, oh, shit, she's dead. I liked you better anyway.
I like brunettes anyway.
But right. They didn't find her. The ghost Mishi got attacked by was her ghost, right?
Yes.
Because Rob had already gone away with the twin, which, lucky
twin?
Rob.
Twin?
Identical, so whatever.
A spare wife.
Yeah,
literally, literally having sex with the same person at the end of the day.
Oh, they were totally banging before they went back to America.
Well, there's going to be the scene where he gets drunk and in sadness and thinks that it's her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we got a sequel, that would be what happened.
Jess, do you taste like she did?
She wakes up and finds him pouring peroxide on her head. Like, just, I want the blonde.
Right. You don't understand. I mean, you saw how hot you guys are, right?
The Forest 2, Out of the Woods.
We ain't out of the woods yet. The Forest 2.
And the theme song is Ryan Adams' cover of Taylor Swift's Out of the Woods.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Yeah. I would watch it just for that song.
It's not a good movie. I think it makes some interesting choices. I don't think it's the worst movie. Like, I don't think it's a hunk of shit. I think it makes some really bad choices, though.
It's not the worst movie. It is a hunk of shit.
I mean, that was the question I asked when we left. And my whole thing that I don't understand is it wasn't awful. And that's what I said leaving. But it wasn't good either. And the question is, so why does this make it to theaters? Like, how is this the one that out of all the thing, all these, you know, horror movies, some good, some bad, most just kind of does someone sit there and say, all right, this is the one we're going to release.
Like,
how
did this make it in and the guest didn't make it into wide release?
Yeah. Like,
there's just no
Natalie Dormer.
Well, yes.
But I don't think she's not a draw. She's not. Yeah. I just don't.
J-horror is not, like, popular.
Game of Thrones dudes who have such a boner for
I mean,
her.
I get that, but I don't think that's.
And the thing is though, they could just watch. I mean, if they just went to see her, they could watch Game of Thrones and actually see her naked.
But maybe they wanted to see her in clothes. Maybe they wanted to see her with dark hair.
They wanted to see her with some snazzy shoes.
They could have seen her with dark hair and still naked in.
Maybe they wanted to see how well she walked.
I mean, it comes up the rest of the month. It's also this time of year. It just lends itself to. We're going to get a lot of crappy horror movies. The end of the month, we're going to get The Boy. And while I'm still more interested in it than The Forest, I know that I'm already prepared to be disappointed.
It's still another The movie. Yeah. So.
It's not going to be good, but I'm still going to go see it with hopes that, maybe this.
I mean, it could be an interesting.
Well, Dead fans, right? By your logic on the other one, is that how this one. And that's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's interesting because it's got Lauren Cohen.
Is that. That's why I recognize her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's
fair.
An interesting point there. I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I think.
Maybe that is how these two make it.
There are some Walking Dead fans that are. I mean, some Walking Dead fans are. Rabid Walking Dead fans. Like, I know people who just pour over the smallest details of The Walking Dead like it was, you know, the Q document, trying to match it up with the other books of the Bible. But
they need to watch better horror stuff.
I agree.
People who go to Atlanta and take The Walking Dead tours, despite the fact that they've gone to Atlanta 100,000 times before.
But not to take The Walking Dead tours.
But this is different. This is a different version of being on the
interstate. This isn't really Atlanta. This is.
We're going to drive by the CDC now, and it's going to be totally different than that time we did in 2008.
Right. When it was just the Cobb Energy Center.
Yeah, when it was the Cobb Energy Center that they blew up.
How many times have they done the Walking Dead tour and then been stuck in traffic and like, hey guys, look, it's just like the poster. We're stuck in the traffic.
Every time.
I played the first episode of the Walking Dead video game recently and forgot how good it was, and B, that it was set in Atlanta, and the main character was from Athens. Like, I thought that was such a bizarre. Like, I'm reading a book right now called Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter, and it's not an exceptionally good book, but the fact that there's a murder mystery out of Athens, Georgia, and it has details about the Manhattan Cafe, and one of the suspects works at Taco Stand. I was like, what the fuck is this book? Like, it's not exceptionally good, but there's definitely, like, whoever wrote it definitely knows about Athens.
Karen Slaughter, she's from Georgia. She's
is
got
she?
Like, a whole series of murder mysteries that take place in imaginary South. I read five of them, like, at the beach this year.
So interesting. Like, it's weird. Like,
it was like she was talking about, like, going places, and I'm like, I know those
things. I know. It's so weird because Georgia's
like when
not...
I watch cops from cities that I've been to, and I'm trying to, like, figure out where they are. I'm like, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's just really interesting because Athens is not a hotbed of, like, fiction, and it's cool to actually hear about some things and go, like, I know where Lipscomb Hall is. I know where Tate is.
Broad Street, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's,
I know this.
And it's actually pretty well, like, you know, like it has the fiction, the lore of Athens, Georgia down. I really like it, so it's cool. It's not a particularly, like, it's fine as far as murder mystery goes, but
it's beach reading.
Yeah, it's beach reading for sure. Like, it's a beach read. So, The Forest.
I would say wait for it to come out.
I wouldn't say wait for it for any
reason. I mean, if it's coming on HBO, watch it.
I don't see a reason. I mean, if you want to watch it, that's fine. But I don't see a reason with everything else that's out there to watch it unless you just really, really need to.
If you want a Natalie Dormer complete.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Or if you're like, man, you're really excited about it. Hey, Jason Zada, I really want to see all of his movies. Oh, this is the only one, so I guess that's...
I think...
Right, The House is October built.
He did, which there are a lot of problems with that, too.
I'm not... I think it would be a fine movie to watch if you're on HBO. Like, if it's free or VOD, like, I think... It's not a bad sit at home and kind of be on your phone and talk through a kind of movie. Like, I think it passes time just fine. I definitely wouldn't say go see it in the theaters. Like, it's definitely not worth what I paid to see it. But
just go play Fatal Frame. Honestly.
Yeah, go play Fatal Frame. What's the new one called, Brian? Do you know?
Food.
The Maiden of Blackwater.
Oh, so man, I was racking my head.
The mechanics in that game alone are worth it, and it takes place in the same location. So The Forest is much more interesting in that. In that game.
Also, Nazi zombie map in Map Pack 2 of Call of Duty World at War was inspired by the setting of Aokigahara.
And you just pulled that off the top of your head, I'm sure.
Off the top of the
internet. No, I know. That was a joke, Brian. You had your phone in front of you.
I had a note.
It.
I wrote a note down.
Oh, cool. So, Lona, what's your verdict?
Just actually go to a forest.
Just see trees.
Just go to a forest and kill yourself
rather than watch
the forest.
Just, you know, if you're not an only child, you and your sibling go out in the woods and tell them to run 20 feet ahead of you.
Have some bonding time.
Yeah.
Or just be scared by being out in the forest and the possibility that a cougar or a bear would attack you.
Like a hot older lady.
Yeah, like a hot older lady. One of those.
Yeah, if you're going to watch something horrific happen in the woods, watch The Revenant.
Or watch Brian be seduced by a cougar.
Yeah.
But it was actually an animal cougar.
Yeah. It's like, damn,
but
girl.
Since he's in the forest, he can't tell if it's a hot old lady or actually.
Damn, girl, you got some big eyes.
Like, your fingernails are so long.
Man, Tim Burton had you nailed when he wrote that movie Big Eyes.
Those are some whiskers. You need to pluck those.
Boy, some hair down south. All right. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
We'll see you next time.
Don't kill yourself. We were just joshing.
We need the listeners.
Do it in the camp. I want to look for you.